بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين. يسر اخوانكم في مكتبة الموحدين ان نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ سلمى محفوظ حفظه الله تعالى، يواصل شرحه لكتاب مسائل الجاهلية لشيخ الاسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. Wahidin Publications in the Caribbean U.S. Pleased to have with us our noble Sheikh Sarabah Mehmoud, may Allah preserve him. We'll be continuing this explanation of Mustaqbil al-Jahiliyyah, our members of the Days of Ignorance. Our Sheikh of Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab, may Allah have mercy on him. Ali at the Fadda Sheikh al-Mashkur, I'm sure.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah. Ahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'afiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فنواصل درسنا هذه الليلة مع إخواننا في مكتبة الموحدين، والدرس هذا يبث على مناطق في جزر الكاريبي. إخواننا هناك بارك الله فيهم، ودرسنا في كتاب مسائل الجاهلية الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب التميمي النجدي رحمه الله تعالى وأسكنه فسيح جناته. قال الشيخ الإمام: المسألة 77، أن أئمتهم إما عالم فاجر وإما عابد جاهل، كما في قوله تعالى: وقد كان فريق منهم يسمعون كلام الله ثم يحرفونه من بعد ما عقلوه وهم يعلمون. وإذا لقوا الذين آمنوا قالوا آمنا، وإذا خلا بعضهم إلى بعض قالوا أتحدثونهم بما فتح الله عليكم ليحاجوكم به عند ربكم أفلا تعقلون. أولا يعلمون أن الله يعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون، ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أمانية وإنهم إلا يظنون. هذه المسألة فيها بيان أن أئمة أهل الجهل من الجاهلية في قرون مضت قديمة وحديثة هم بين صنفين من العلماء، بين صنفين العلماء: عالم يقال له عالم وهو فاجر، عنده علم لكن عنده فجور وعنده معاصي، وعالم آخر عابد جاهل يعبد الله تعالى بالجهل لا يعبد الله تعالى بعلم. وهذا كان حال اليهود والنصارى، تجد علماءهم من أحبار اليهود عندهم علم لكنهم يحرفون الكتاب، يحرفون ما جاءهم من التوراة على لسان النبي موسى عليه السلام. وهكذا أيضا علماء أو عباد النصارى جهلا، ما عندهم علم، يعبدون الله تعالى بالجهل، فذم الله تعالى هؤلاء وهم من أهل الجاهلية الأولى. جاء في قوله تعالى: أفتطمعون أن يؤمنوا لكم وقد كان فريق منهم يسمعون كلام الله ثم يحرفونه من بعد ما عقلوه. هذا حال اليهود ورهبان اليهود، جاءتهم التوراة كلام الله تعالى ويعرفونه وتعلموه، لكن عمدوا إلى تحريفه. قال ثم يحرفونه، أي يغيرون ألفاظه ومعانيه إلى ألفاظ غير صحيحة ومعاني غير صحيحة. قال الله من بعد ما عقلوه وهم يعلمون، أي من بعد ما عرفوا ما فيه من معاني صحيحة لكن اتبعوا أهواءهم واتبعوا ما في قلوبهم من مرض، تحرفوا ما جاء في التوراة. جاء في السيرة أن اليهود كانوا في المدينة، فزنى رجل من اليهود بامرأة، فقالوا اليهود اذهبوا بهذا الزاني والزانية إلى هذا الرجل، يعنون الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، ما يريدون أن يطبقوا ما جاء في التوراة. التوراة جاء فيها الرجم لكنهم يخفون ذلك، فيقولون عندنا نحن التحميم. ما هو التحميم؟ قالوا نسود وجوههم ونركبهم على حمير ونطوب بهم في الأسواق، هذا جزاء الزاني والزانية، هذا خلاف ما جاء في التوراة. جاءوا للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام لعلهم يجدون شيء يخفف عن الرجم، فالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قال ما تجدون في التوراة على من زنى؟ قالوا نجد فيها أننا نسود وجوههم ونركبهم على حمير ونطوف بهم في الأسواق. فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام للصحابي الجليل عبد الله بن سلام، أنه كان من أحبار اليهود، أنه أسلم رضي الله عنه، قال كذبوا يا رسول الله. عبد الله بن سلام يقول كذبوا يا رسول الله. فطلب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام منه التوراة، فلما أحضروها وضع ابن سوريا هذا من أحبار اليهود الكذبة المحرفين، وضع يده على آية الرجم يخفيها، فقالوا عبد الله بن سلام ارفع أصبعك، فلما رفع إذا بآية الرجم تلوح في التوراة، فأمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بهما فرجما بالحجارة حتى ماتا. انظر كيف يحرفون ما جاء في التوراة. أيضا اليهود عندما قال الله لهم ادخلوا الباب سجدا وقولوا حطة، يحط عنا ذنوبنا، ماذا قالوا؟ قالوا حنطة، حنطة حبة في شعير، محرفون. وهكذا يجب التحريف أيضا من دأب اليهود في كل ما جاء في التوراة. وهكذا تجد أيضا من يحرفون في كتاب الله اليوم من أهل الجاهلية الذين يخطون خطى أهل الجاهلية الأولى، هؤلاء أيضا ممن يقول استوى يقول استولى، من الفرق الضالة، هؤلاء يتبعوا تلك الجاهلية الأولى. أما عباد النصارى من الجهلة من الرهبان، هؤلاء ما عندهم شيء علم، ولذلك قال الله تعالى ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أمانية وإنهم إلا يظنون، هكذا ما عندهم علم، عندهم جهل ويتعبدون الله تعالى بالجهل. وسار على دربهم في جاهلية هذه العصور من أهل الإسلام الصوفية وكذلك أصحاب التبليغ، يعبدون الله تعالى بالجهل بدون علم، ولذلك ضلوا وأضلوا. نسأل الله السلام والعافية. نعم تفضل.
Which is that the people of Jahiliyyah, their leaders, were either knowledgeable sinners or they were ignorant worshippers. As Azul just says in Surah Al-Baqarah, starting with Ayah 75, do you, the believers, covet that they will believe in your religion in spite of the fact that a party of them in the Jewish rabbis used to hear the word of Allah, the Torah, then they would change it knowingly after they understood it. And when the Jews meet those who believe, and the Muslims, they say, "We believe." But when they meet one another in private, they say, "Shall you, the Jews, tell the Muslims what Allah has revealed to you, not the description in the Prophet Muhammad, which is written in the Torah, so that they, Muslims, will argue with it, with you, about it before your Lord? Have you no understanding? Know they not that Allah knows what they conceal and what they reveal? And there are among them unlettered people who know not the book, but they just trust upon false desires, and they but guess." So this is the 77th description of the people of Jahiliyyah, that they took as their leaders either people who knew the truth, but were sinful and didn't act upon it, or people who didn't know to begin with. They were pious people, but they were ignorant and didn't know the truth. This is one of the descriptions of the people of Jahiliyyah. Of the latter days, of the early days, and of latter times. So, this is not only the case of the Jews and the Christians, and it definitely applies to them, but anyone who is following in their footsteps, anyone who follows in the ways of Jahiliyyah. They fall under one of two categories. Their leaders are either knowingly misleading people. They know the truth, but they're not acting upon it. They're sinful people. Or, and this was the case of the Jews, because they knew the Torah, which was the speech of Allah, the book of Allah. Yet, they distorted its meanings. They changed in it what was revealed to Musa, alayhi salam. And therefore, Allah criticized them. Likewise, the Christians, their fault was they were knowing their scripture, being complacent with ignorance, and not knowing their own scripture. And so, the Jews were the ones who changed the meanings and the wording of their own scripture. And we see in the seerah that in Medina, there was once an incident in life of the Prophet where a Jewish man committed adultery with a Jewish woman. And the Jews wanted to judge in their case, and they knew that in their own scripture, they were supposed to stone the adulteress to death. And so they said, "Go to that man." It was the Prophet Muhammad. They said, "Go to him and see what judgment he gives you." Meaning, they didn't want to carry out this punishment. And they thought if he has some other light punishment, something that's not going to lead to executing them, then we'll accept what he says. So they went and asked the Prophet, "What do you say about the adulterers? What punishment should they get?" And he said, "What does your own scripture say? What does your scripture say?" And they knew that their own scripture, the Torah, had stoning of the adulterer. Yet they said, "Well, what our scripture says is we're supposed to blacken their faces with charcoal and put them both on a donkey and ride them around in public in the marketplace as a way of publicly disgracing them." And he said, "Is this what you have written in your scripture, in the Torah?" He said, "Yes." And Abdullah ibn Salam, who was, before accepting Islam, a Jewish rabbi, he said, "You are lying." He told those Jews, knowing himself the scripture, he told them that they knew that they were lying. So, the Prophet ﷺ told them to bring forth their scriptures, so they can't have a look at it. Bring forth the Torah. So they brought it forth, and one of them was plotting. He intentionally opened the page where the ruling of stoning the adulterers was, but he put his hand over it so that it was covered. And he said, "See, it doesn't say anything about stoning." And the Lamb said, "You liar, raise your finger up," because he was covering purposefully. The ayah said that they were supposed to be stoned, that the adulterer is to be stoned to death. Then the Prophet upon showing them that his religion and their religion both say that they are that the adulterer is to be stoned, commanded for that man and woman both to be stoned. This is one example of how the people of Jahiliyyah, namely in this instance the Jews, were distorting their own scripture knowing the truth, but sinfully distorting their own scripture in order to follow their desires. Another example of this is when they were granted safe entry into Jerusalem, and they were told to enter into the gates of the city, prostrating themselves out of thanks to Allah Azza wa Jalla, for leading them out of the wilderness, being lost. And so instead of doing that, they were commanded to enter the doors, saying, Fatwa, meaning forgive us, meaning put down for us our sins, put the burden of our sins down, forgive our sins. And instead they changed the wording, saying, Shenpa, which means a little grain of barley. And instead of entering the door prostrating as they had been commanded, they entered crawling on their buttocks, as a way of mocking the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so likewise, just as these people, these Jahiliya people, would play around and change the words of their scripture in order to fit what suits their desires, we would have people from this Ummah following the ways of Jahiliya doing the exact same thing with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Quran. People who call themselves Muslims, changing the wording and playing with the wording to suit their own agenda and their own desires. We have in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, how many times, 7 times, where Allah is mentioning that, istawa, that he arose over his throne. And what do the people of innovation and misguidance say? They say that istawa means istawla. They said that arose, he didn't really arise over his throne. What he meant is that he took control, istawla, meaning he took control over his throne. Playing with the word, playing with the word. Another example is that just like the Christians, whereas the Jews were knowing, they knew the truth, but they didn't follow it. They found a way around it. The Christians didn't know the truth. They didn't study their own scripture. And so they were ignorantly making up things and entering and innovating things in their religion, claiming that they were from the teachings of Isa alayhi salam when they never were. We have Muslims doing the exact same thing out of ignorance, following in the footsteps of the people of Jahiliya, ignorantly innovating in their religion. And so we have the Sufis, so this is their approach, not to seek knowledge, to ignorantly innovate in the religion. And we have the Tabligh doing the same thing, as to protect us from this guidance. Follow us here.
قال الشيخ الإمام مالك المسألة 78 قال دعواهم محبة الله مع تركهم شرعه فطالبهم الله بقوله قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. أهل الجاهلية يكذبون على الله تعالى يقول نحن نحب الله. ما هو دليل محبة الله تعالى؟ دليل محبة الله اتباع شرع الله تعالى، الإيمان بالله تعالى، توحيد الله تعالى، قبول ما جاء به أنبياء الله تعالى. لكن أهل الجاهلية يكذبون يقولوا نحن نحب الله كذب وافتراء. ولذلك الله تعالى ابتلى أهل الجاهلية في كل زمان ومكان بهذه الآية العظيمة، هذه يسمى آية المحنة، ويقول الله تعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. هكذا قال الله برسول محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، من يدعي محبة الله تعالى فليتبع أنبياء الله، فليتبع محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام خاتم الأنبياء الذي جاء بخاتم رسالة بعد من سبقه من الأنبياء. ننظر حال اليهود، ما اتبعوا موسى عليه السلام، حرفوا في التوراة، جاءوا فيها بالأباطيل، حرفوا في الإنجيل، هكذا فعل أيضا النصارى. ولما جاء النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بهذه الدعوة، دعوة الإسلام، خاتم الرسالات، قال نحن نتبع أيضا ما جاء به الله، نحن نحب الله. فامتحنه الله تعالى، قال إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوا الرسول الذي جاء خاتم الرسل. ماذا قالوا؟ ما آمنوا، كانوا يتمنون أن يكون الرسول خاتم الأنبياء من اليهود، فلما لم يكن منهم سفروا به. ولذلك هم من أصحاب النار خالدين فيها مخلدين، كما قال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، ما من يهودي ولا نصراني يسمع بي ثم لا يؤمن بي إلا أكبه الله تعالى في النار على خلود مخلد. وهكذا أهل الجاهلية في كل زمان ومكان. امتحنهم الله تعالى بهذه الآية. من كان صادقا يحب الله، يحب دين الله، يحب شرع الله، يحب القرآن، يحب السنة، يتبع الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. وابتلى الله تعالى أهل الجاهلية في هذا الزمان أيضا بهذه الآية. عباد القبور من الصوفية، عباد الأضرحة الذين يطوفون بالقبور ويذبحون لهم ويدعونهم من دون الله تعالى، هذا شرك. هؤلاء يقولون نحن نحب الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. ما هو دليل محبتكم؟ دليل محبتهم الموالد والقصائد والترنحات والبكاء. كذب. الذي يحب الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يحب دين الرسول ويعمل بما جاء بالرسول ويتبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما الذي يدعي محبة الرسول ثم يأتي بالبدع والخرافات ويخالف دين الله تعالى، هذا ما يحب الرسول، هذا يحب الهوى، يحب الباطل. وينبغي التدبر. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. دليل محبة الدين، دليل محبة الله، اتباع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا ينطبق في كل زمان ومكان. من أحب دين الله، من أحب الله، فليتبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومن خالف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وجاء بالبدع والمنكرات والمحدثات والحزبيات والخرافات، هذا لم يحب رسول الله ولم يتبع رسول الله. إذن هو لا يحب دين الله ولا يحب الله، وإن قال مليون مرة أنه يحب الله فهو كاذب. والله مستعان. تفضل.
The point the text says from the descriptions of the people of Jahiliya is that they claim to love Allah, yet they reject His legislation. And so Allah said of them, "Say, if you love Allah, then follow me." Saying for the Prophet ﷺ to tell the people, "Say, if you love Allah, follow me. For the Prophet ﷺ, Allah will love you, and He will forgive your sins." So this is what is known as the ayah of the test. This was the ayah of the test. For anyone who claimed to love Allah, they could either pass or fail this test based on whether or not they follow the Prophet ﷺ. The evidence of a person loving Allah is him following the religion of Allah azawajal, and following his prophets. Allah azawajal tested the people of Jahiliyyah with this. If truly you love Allah as you're claiming, then he is a prophet. Follow him. You want to follow him? Then you're true in this claim that you make to love Allah. You don't follow this prophet, then you're a liar. You don't love Allah. You love to follow your desires. That's what you love. So, Allah says in this ayah, say, if you love Allah, follow me. Follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah will love you and forgive your sins. This was a test for the people of Jahiliyyah throughout history. With all the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Their test was whether or not they were going to follow the Prophet and Messenger that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to them. Ending with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last of them. If they pass this test and follow the Prophet sent to them, they are true. They do love Allah. If they refuse to follow their Prophet, then they are liars. They don't love Allah. This was the condition of the Jews. They distorted the meanings of their own scripture. They brought falsehood into their own religion. Likewise, it was the case of the Christians who changed their own scripture, the Injil or the Gospel. And the Jews were hoping that the Prophet to come, who they knew was coming, they were hoping that he was going to be from one of them, one of their, from their lineage. But when they found that he was, then they rejected him. So they failed their test. They failed their test and did not follow the Prophet sent to them. The Messenger said in the Hadith, if there is no Jew or Christian who hears about me and dies without believing in what I have been sent with, except that he will be thrown on his face in the hellfire. The people of Jahiliyyah in every time and place have this test presented before them. If they are true and they love Allah, then they will pass this test and follow their messenger. This test even goes for those who claim to be followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who are Sufis are not passing this test. Why? Because they are going and making tawaf and circling their graves and slaughtering for these so-called Sufi saints in their graves and making vows to the saints in their graves. if they claim to love Allah and they claim to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you ask them, where is your proof? Show us your proof that you love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say, look at the way we celebrate the Mawlid. Don't we celebrate his birthday and we have a big party and we cry and things like that? That's proof enough. And they are liars. This is proof that they don't love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't love Allah. If they loved Allah and each other, they would follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they wouldn't innovate by doing these acts of bid'ah. So whoever loves the Prophet whoever loves Allah will follow the Sunnah of the Messenger and won't follow their desires and won't follow falsehood. And whoever does differ with the Messenger, know that he is a liar. If he doesn't love the Prophet, if he's not following his Sunnah, he doesn't love the Prophet. And if he doesn't love the Prophet, then he doesn't love his religion, he doesn't love Allah. Even if he says a million times every day, I love Allah. Fellowship.
قال الشيخ الإمام بعد ذلك هذه مسألة 79 تمنيهم الأماني الكاذبة كقولهم لن تمسنا النار إلا أياما معدودة وقولهم لن يدخل الجنة إلا من كان هودا أو نصارى. هذه أيضا صفات أهل الجاهلية أنهم يتمنون الأمان. الله تعالى لم يضمن لليهود ولا النصارى دخول الجنة، ولم يضمن الله تعالى دخول الجنة إلا لمن آمن به ووحده وصار على ما جاء به الأنبياء موحدا لله تعالى عاملا بدين الله تعالى. لكن أهل الجاهلية يدعون كذبا على الله، يقول نحن أبناء الله، نحن اصطفانا الله، نحن يحبنا الله تعالى، ولذلك لن يدخلنا النار إلا أياما معدودة. طيب إيش الأيام المعدودة؟ قال يهود الأيام المعدودة التي فيها عبدنا العجل، التي عبدنا العجل فيها، هذه سيعذبنا الله في النار أيام قليلة ثم نقول إلى الجنة نخلد فيها. هكذا قال اليهود. والنصارى يقولوا هكذا، يقولوا نحن سندخل الجنة. طيب أهل الإسلام؟ قال أهل الإسلام ما يدخل الجنة أو لا يدخل النار. فادعوا لأنفسهم أنهم أبناء الله ويحبهم الله وأنهم يدخلون الجنة، وأن غير اليهود والنصارى يدخلون النار. فهذا معنى قوله في على لسانهم أو على ما قالوا لن تمسنا النار إلا أياما معدودة، يعني أيام قليلة بس. لما؟ قالوا لن يدخل الجنة إلا من كان هودا أو نصارى، مع أنهم يدمون بعض البعض. وقالت اليهود ليست النصارى على شيء، هكذا اليهود يدمون النصارى، وقالت النصارى ليست اليهود على شيء، وهم يتلون الكتاب كذلك قال الذين من قبلهم مثل قولهم تشابهت قلوبهم قد بينا آيات لقوم يعلمون. كل كذب وافتراء وأماني كاذبة. الله تعالى يقول قل أتخذتم عند الله عهدا، يعني هل الله أعطاكم عهدا أن يدخلكم الجنة؟ إذا كان الأمر كذلك فلن يخلف الله عهده. أم تقول الله ما لا تعلم؟ تكذبون على الله تعالى. ثم قال الله تعالى بلى من كسب سيئة وأحاطت به خطيئته فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. الذي يخالف دين الله، الذي يعبد الله، يعبد مع الله عزير، يعبد مع الله عيسى، هؤلاء أصحاب ذنوب وخطايا وكفر، هؤلاء يدخلون النار، لا لهم في الجنة شيء. هؤلاء أصحاب ذنوب ومعاصي فيها كفر. وإذا قد عليهم لن تمسنا النار إلا أيام معدودة، قد الله عليهم بهذا الكلام. وهكذا في سورة آل عمران يقول ألم تر الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يدعون إلى كتاب الله ليحكم بينهم ثم يتولى فريق منهم وهم معرضون، ما يعتقدون كتاب الله، يخالفون الله. قال ذلك بأنهم قالوا لن تمسنا النار إلا أياما معدودات وغرهم في دينهم ما كانوا يفترون. فكيف إذا جمعناهم اليوم لا ريب فيه ووفيت كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون. أنتم اكتسبتوا الكفر زون عذاب النار خالدين مخلدين. أيضا قال الله تعالى ليس بأمانيكم أي ليس بأمنياتكم يا الكذبة يا اليهود يا النصارى، ليس كما تتمنون، ليس بأمانيكم ولا أماني أهل الكتاب لا يهود ولا نصارى. من يعمل، هذه قاعدة جعلها الله تعالى في كل بشرية، من يعمل سوءا يجزى به ولا يجد له من دون الله وليا ولا نصيرا، ومن يعمل من الصالحات من ذكر أنثى وهو مؤمن فأولئك يدخلون الجنة ولا يظلمون نقيرا. إذن من يدخل الجنة؟ على الإيمان بالله، أتباع الرسل الموحدون، أما من خالف ذلك فإنه له نار جهنم خالدا فيها مخلد، وإن تمنى الأمان على الله الكاذبة. والله المستعان. تفضل.
The following point reflects that the people of Jahiliyyah had false hopes, empty hopes, such as when they said, "Antamastana an-naru illa ayyaman ma'duda," the hellfire will not touch us except for a certain number of days. And when they said, "Lan yadkhula al-jannata illa man kana hudan aw nasara," no one will enter Jannah except those who are Jews and Christians. Although this is one of the characteristics of the people of Jahiliyyah, they have these false hopes that are baseless. Allah never gave any guarantee to anyone who called themselves Jew or Christian that they would enter Jannah. It's never a guarantee that they will get it. Rather, He guaranteed that the people who believe in Him and single Him out with worship are righteous. These are the ones who enter Jannah. Yet they turned around and said, the Jews and Christians turned around and said that Allah loves us and we are the sons of Allah and we will not enter the hellfire except for a certain number of days for our sins. The Jews said that the number of days that they would enter the hellfire were equal to the number of days that they had remained worshipping the golden calf. And so they claimed to be the sons of Allah and the chosen people of Allah, the ones whom Allah loved. They said that no one went into Jannah except those who were Jews and Christians. In spite of the fact that they differ with one another, the Jews and Christians don't agree. Each one of them says that the other is going to hell and that their religion is worthless. And the Jews said that the Christians are following nothing, no religion. And the Christians said that the Jews are following nothing. And they are the ones who recite the same book. And so they were upon falsehood and false hopes that were baseless. Allah says, قُلْ لَتَّخَدْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدًا. Is it that you took some covenant from Allah and He's not going to break His covenant? Did you ever get a promise? Did Allah ever make a covenant with you that you were going to Jannah and promise you this? Or did you simply make this up based on your own desires? This is the case. Whoever differs with the religion of Allah, worshipping other than Him, worshipping Hosea, worshipping Isa, these are from the inhabitants of the hellfire. And when they said that they will only be in the hellfire for a certain number of days, they invented this. This has no scriptural basis. This was from their superstitions and false speech. Azzawajal says about them, أَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Have you not seen those who are given a portion of the book? يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ. They are invited to the book of Allah to judge between them. ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Then a group of them turn their backs. They reject. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَّعْدُودَاتٍ. That's because they say the fire will only touch us for a certain number of days. فَغَرَّهُمْ فِي دِينِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. And they were deceived in their religion because of that which they used to fabricate, and the lies they used to tell. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جَمَعْنَاهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ لَّا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. So what will happen? We gather them on a day that there is no doubt about. وَوْفِيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And every single soul is given exactly what it earned for itself, and they should be wronged in this life. So, these claims that they made, the Jews and Christians made, they were going to Jannah, regardless of their deeds, they would only be punished for a certain number of days, has no basis. And I was saying, the criterion for going to Jannah is worshipping Allah and doing righteous deeds. Have anything to do with claiming affiliation to a certain party or calling oneself Jew or Christian. And so these are false hopes, baseless hopes that they had. And Allah gives us a principle. He tells us that whoever does righteous deeds, male or female, these are the ones who should be entered into Jannah. Going to Jannah is based upon one's creed and one's deeds. One's iman and one's righteous deeds. It has nothing to do with claiming to be the chosen people of Allah, the sons of Allah, or affiliation with this group and that group. Publisher.
Now, hello?
نعم شيخ.
ثم قال الشيخ الإمام رحمه الله تعالى المسألة الثمانون قال اتخاذ قبور أنبيائهم وصالحيهم مساجد. وهذا ظاهر في حال النصارى واليهود والصوفية أصحاب البدع والخزعبلات الذين يعبدون هذه القبور حالهم ظاهر في هذا، وهو مظهر مشهور في الجاهلية أنهم يعبدون قبور الصالحين ويعظمونهم ويجعلون لهم أضرحة وبنايات وصور وغير ذلك. وقد رأى المسلمون عندما هاجروا إلى حبشة خوفا من اضطهاد قريش لهم وأدنى لهم رسول بالهجرة للحبشة، لما رجعوا من الحبشة أخبر الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام بذلك، فأم سلمة وأم حبيبة رضي الله تعالى عنهن زوج الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قالت يا رسول الله لقد رأينا في أرض الحبشة الكنائس وعليها التصاوير، فأخبر الرسول بأن هذه الكنائس يجعل عليها تصاوير وزخرفة وشيء من هذا، فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أولئك قوم إذا مات فيهم الرجل الصالح أو العبد الصالح بنوا على قبره مسجدا، أي محل يسجد فيه كنيسة أو دور عبادة لليهود، معابد أو مقابر يتعبدون بعبادة صاحب القبر. قال أولئك قوم إذا مات فيهم الرجل الصالح، أي رجل يعني عنده صلاح، وعبد صالح بنوا على قبره مسجدا. قال وصوروا فيه تلك الصور أولئك شرار الخلق عند الله، تأخذ بالرسول شرار الخلق عند الله، لأنهم اتخذوا الصور واتخذوا القبور رفعوها ثم عبدوها، مثل ما حصل لقوم نوح عندما أغراهم الشيطان بعبادة الصور ثم القبور. وهكذا تجد دائما عن الخرافات عن الضلال يتخذون الأضرحة للأولياء ويرفعون القبور ويجعلونها القباب ويجعلونها السرج ويجعلونها الأنوار ويجعلون عليها محيطات، ثم يتقربون إلى هم يقولون نحن نعلم أن هؤلاء لا يطعمون ولا يرزقون ولا يحيون ولا يميتون، لكنهم شفعاء لنا عند الله، نتقرب إليهم بالدعاء والعبادة حتى يشفعوا لنا عند الله. قال تعالى ويعبدون من دون الله ما لا يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ويقولون هؤلاء شفعاؤنا عند الله. وقال تعالى والذين اتخذوا من دونه أولياء ما نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفى فغلوا. الآن تجد عندهم هذا بناء القبور، السرج، وضع الستائر، وهكذا الغلو في الصالحين المقابرين، هذا عبد القادر الجيلاني، هذا قبر الحسين، هذا قبر ولي الفلاني، هذا قبر ولي الفلاني، هذه كلها مكذب. وعندهم الموالد، أين جاءت الموالد هذه عند الصوفية؟ من أين جاءوا بها؟ جاءوا بها من الترانيم التي يفعلها النصارى في كنائسهم، موسيقى واغاني وهذا، فاخذها الصوفيه وعملوها عند القبور، عند في المساجد اغاني وترهات مثل ما فعل النصارى. الله المستعان. تفضل.
Except the people of Jacobea would take the graves of their prophets and righteous men as places of prayer, as masjids. This is very apparent and very clear, and everyone with two eyes can see that this is the situation of the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. They all take the graves of the righteous people that they respect as places of worship. This was famous in Jacobea, that they would build on top of the graves of righteous people, shrines. And when the Muslims made the first hijra to Habashan, to Abyssinia, because of their fear of their persecution at the hands of Quraysh, they saw the Christians there doing this. Umm Salamah and Habiba, Allah be pleased with them both, the mothers of the believers, they went back when they returned to Mecca. They informed the Prophet ﷺ, saying that they had seen churches. They saw in them pictures and statues. The Prophet ﷺ said, those are people that when a righteous man dies amongst them, they build a masjid upon his grave. They build a place of prayer and worship at his grave. He then said, ﷺ, those are the worst of the creation with Allah. Those people, the same people who do this, they don't say that the men buried in those graves created them, give them sustenance, provide for them, cause life, give life, cause death. They don't say any of this. They simply say that these are mediaries that they use to get to Allah. These are middlemen that they pray, instead of praying directly to Allah, they will pray to these saints in the graves. The saints will carry their prayers to Allah. يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِندَ اللَّهِ. They worship aside from Allah that which harms them not nor benefits them. And they say these are our intermediaries with Allah. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَا إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. Those whom they worship saints aside from Allah, or they have these allies and protectors that they take apart from Allah. They say, we only do this so that they can bring us closer to Allah. This is what they think. Instead of worshiping Allah, they can go and pray to these righteous men who are buried, who are dead and gone, and that they will carry their prayers to Allah. And this will bring them closer to Allah. This is what they say. And this is part of the manifestation of their extremism when it comes to the righteous. It's even up until this day, people will go and do this at the graves of righteous men, Abdul Jilani, Hussein, and other than them. And it's very clear the situation of the Sufis and how they make these celebrations of singing and dancing and the likes at the graves, which they got from the Christians.
قال الشيخ الإمام بعد ذلك: المسألة 81، اتخاذ آثار أنبيائهم مساجد، كما ذكر عن عمر. أهل الجاهليات في كل زمان ومكان يتخذون آثار الأنبياء أماكن معظمة، ما أنزل الله بذلك سلطان، ولم يفعل الأنبياء ذلك. فتجدهم الأماكن التي كان فيها الأنبياء يجلسون أو يمرون أو يصلون يجعلون فيها مباني ويجعلون فيها أمور من أضرحة وغير ذلك، ويتعبدون في هذه الأماكن، وهذا من الباطل. كثير من الجاهلية في هذا العصر من أهل الإسلام عندما يأتون إلى مكة يذهبون إلى غار حراء ويتمسحون بالغار، يذهبون إلى غار ثور. غار حراء هذا الذي كان الرسول يتعبد فيه قبل البعثة، وغار ثور الذي فيه الرسول مكث في هيئته. الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام بعدما بعث لم يمر بغار حراء ولا غار ثور، خلاص انتهى الأمر. لكن ولا الصحابة كانوا يذهبون إلى غار ثور ولا غار حراء، لكن أهل الجاهلية الآن يذهبون إلى غار ثور وإلى غار حراء يتمسحون بها، يصلون عندها، يذكرون الله عندها، هذا كله من البدع. هكذا كان حال الجاهلية في كل زمان ومكان. في عهد عمر بن الخطاب أمير المؤمنين رضي الله تعالى عنه اجتمع ناس في شجرة، شجرة البيعة التي كان فيها بيعة تحتها، ذهبوا يصلون في ذلك المكان. هذا من دين أهل الجاهلية تعظيم آثار الأنبياء. ولذلك عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه لما رأى الناس يذهبون في شجرة البيعة التي بايع الرسول عليه الصلاة والصحابة تحتها، قال إنما أهلك من كان قبلكم أنهم تتبعوا آثار أنبيائهم، ثم أمر بقطع تلك الشجرة لأنهم اتخذوها مقام عبادة. هذا لا يجوز. الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام اتخذ مقام إبراهيم مصلى بأمر من الله، قال الله تعالى واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى، وهذا بجنب الكعبة. أما غير ذلك ما يجوز. بعض الناس إذا مروا ما بين المدينة ومكة يقول لهم بعض الناس هذا المكان صلى فيه الرسول، خلاص يعظمونه ويمكثون عنده يصلون، وهكذا مر الرسول في هذا الوادي يمرون فيه يتمسحون بالوادي. هذا كله من فعل أهل الجاهليات الأولى، ما أنزل الله بها السلطان. هذه فعل وثنيات يتبركون بالحجار، يتبركون بالأصنام، هذا فعل الشياطين الذي جعل قوم نوح يفعلون ذلك، ثم عبدوا هذه الأصنام، ثم عبدوا هذه الأماكن من دون الله تعالى. وهكذا في هذا الزمان نجد من يرفعون أضرحة ويرفعون الأماكن اللي يقول لك هذا مر به الرسول على كذا، ثم يتمسحون بها ثم يعبدونها من دون الله تعالى. المؤمن ينبغي أن يحذر من كل وسيلة تؤدي إلى الشرك. خليل الله تعالى إبراهيم أبو الأنبياء عليه السلام ماذا قال؟ قال وجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام. وعبادة الأصنام تبدأ أولا بتعظيم آثار الأنبياء، ثم المقوف عندها، ثم عبادتها من دون الله. فنسأل الله السلامة والعافية. تفضل.
Following which in the text is that the people of Jahiliyyah would take the remains of their prophets as places of worship, as was mentioned, that Umar, how he reacted to this. So whatever were leftover artifacts or belongings or places where prophets had been, the way of the people of Jahiliyyah is that they would go to those places and make them places of worship. They would go pray at those places, build shrines at those places, and all of this is baathil. Likewise, from the Jahiliya of our day and time, some people, when they go to Mecca, they will go visit the cave where the Prophet ﷺ used to worship before receiving revelation. Ghar Hira and Ghar Thawr. After the Prophet ﷺ received revelation, he never went back to these caves. There was nothing special about these caves in Islam. He never went back to them. Never made any big deal of these caves. Likewise, the Sahaba, they never went and visited these caves. So taking these caves as places of tourist attractions and visits and going to pray at them and the likes, this has no place in Islam. There were a group of people in the time of Umar that they went to the tree where the Bay'at al-Ridwan took place. The tree that the Sahaba had given their oath of allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ under, and they had earned the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla for their willingness to sacrifice and support the Masjid al-Haram at all costs when they were facing possibly being wiped off the face of the earth by the Mushrikeen. They were small in number, and it could have been that they were totally wiped out on that occasion. As Allah said, we're with you and we'll support you till the death. This tree where this incident took place, some people during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu went back to this tree because this special incident had taken place there and they prayed there. When he heard about this, because this was an act of jahiliyyah, there was no basis, we have nothing from the deen telling us to go and visit this tree or do anything there. He had this tree cut down so that it wouldn't be a means of people falling into shirk because of this tree. When it comes to us praying at the place where Ibrahim alayhi salam would stand while the Kaaba was being built, this was a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla was the one who commanded us to take this place as a place of prayer. اتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم صلى and take the standing place of Ibrahim as a place of prayer. So this was from a commandment from Allah azza wa jalla. So the same ruling doesn't apply to all of the other things that have been mentioned, the cave and the tree. Some people likewise in our day and time that will stop at certain places between Mecca and Medina and make a big deal out of these places. And this is the action, this way, this methodology of searching places and things and artifacts and making them special and making them holy and making them places of prayer. This is from the actions of the idol worshippers and from the actions of Shaytan. You look at how he tricked the people of Nuh alayhi salam into worshipping the idol. This is what he did. This same trick here. Going and making a big deal out of some place. And that place doesn't have any, there's nothing special about it to begin with. Allah's intimate friend, Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam, he would call upon Allah Azza wa Jalla, as Allah informs, saying, وَجَنُوا بَنِيَ وَبَنِيَ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَاحِ. Protect me and my progeny from worshipping the idols. Taking things like this, places and things and artifacts and trees and caves as places that are given special reverence, is the first step in making them an idol which is eventually worshipped. That's the Bar Protect Testament. Allah Shaykh.
Tayyib, JazakAllah khair, Ya Akhana Sadr. Nantahi, inshaAllah, bihada dars al-layla. ونلتقي إن شاء الله في الأسبوع القادم. بارك الله فيكم وأحسن الله إليكم.
جزاك الله كل خير. حب الله أجركم شكرا.
آمين. بارك الله. حياكم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم.